Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, the first reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7, verse 51, through to the first verse of chapter 8. Before I read that, I want to begin with the opening prayer this morning. O God, who open wide the gates of the heavenly kingdom to those reborn of water and the Holy Spirit, that's us, pour out on your servants an increase of the grace you have bestowed, that having been purged of all sins, they may lack nothing that in your kindness you have promised. Think about that. Pour out on your servants an increase of the grace you have bestowed, that having been purged of all sins, they may lack nothing that in your kindness you have promised. How are we going to know the fullness of God's promises unless we repent of our sin? Unless we turn away, even if we have to confess the same sin over and over and over until the habit is broken. But if we're not regularly receiving the sacrament of reconciliation, our minds are dulled. Our eyes are dimmed. Sin does that in us. We want to be in a place where this prayer becomes real for us. Pour out on your servants an increase of the grace you have bestowed, that having been purged of all sins, they may lack nothing that in your kindness you have promised. May that be so for each one of us. Let's take a look at the Acts of the Apostles now, chapter 7. Stephen said to the people, the elders and the scribes, "You stiff-necked people." See, he's being honest. They're so caught up in the law that they're blinded and deafened. You can make the law your God. The law is the means to union with God. And sometimes we can get so caught up in the letter of the law that we can't see beyond our own nose. And that's what happened here. Stephen said to the people, the elders and the scribes, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always oppose the Holy Spirit. You are just like your ancestors. Which of the prophets did your ancestors not persecute? They put to death those who foretold the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. You received the law as transmitted by angels, but you did not observe it." When they heard this, they were infuriated. "Who was he to tell me what to do?" That attitude. And they ground their teeth at him. But Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked up intently to heaven. He saw the glory of God. He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He was given a vision before his death. And Stephen said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." He's genuinely seeing a vision, and the people are infuriated. They think he's an imposter, but they don't really listen. They don't really listen. But they cried out in a loud voice, covered their ears, and rushed upon him together. They threw him out of the city, and they began to stone him. The witnesses laid down their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul. As they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell to his knees and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Notice forgiving. We've talked about forgiveness. Here is Stephen at the moment of his own death being stoned to death. "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he said this, he fell asleep. That is, he died. Now, Saul was consenting to his execution. Saul took care of everybody else's cloaks while they stoned Stephen to death. He consented. He participated. What a moment, a time for transformation. And yet how easy it is to get caught up in a mob mentality. How easy it is to destroy life. Brothers and sisters, we need to pay heed to this in many arenas in our lives. Where am I quenching life? I may not take up stones and throw them at somebody, but my words can destroy, my actions can destroy, my gossip can destroy. How am I living? Am I truly Christian? Am I truly Catholic or not? And if not, what am I doing about it? Ask God for grace. Ask God for wisdom. Ask God for strength. Don't try to pull it up within yourself. We're too fragile. But if we rely on God, He will supply. He's the source of all that is good. It's not in us. He is the source. Call on Him. Psalm 31, into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. Just exactly what Stephen did when he died. Be my rock of refuge, a stronghold to give me safety. You are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you will lead and guide me. Into your hands I commend my spirit. You will redeem me, O Lord, O faithful God. My trust is in the Lord. My trust is in you, Lord. I will rejoice and be glad of your mercy. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your kindness. You hide them in the shelter of your presence from the plottings of men. God is our rock. God is our place of safety. God is our place of hope. Draw near. Draw near to Him and stay there. Don't just say, oh God, help me. Get down on your knees right where you are. And I'm not speaking about in public, but wherever you are, where you can do it privately, get down on your knees and say, God, help me. Please, will you help me? And keep crying out to Him and He will help you. Whatever it is that you need to overcome. And the gospel is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 30 to 35. The crowd said to Jesus, what sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? In other words, prove yourself. What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. In other words, so if He gave them bread from heaven to eat, what are you going to give us? You see that selfishness? You see that it's all me, me, me. Prove to me. Rather than saying, Lord, help me to see. Very different attitude. The crowd said to Jesus, what sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. So Jesus said to them, amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So they said to Jesus, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. Have you come to know the truth of that yet? At least less hunger and less thirst than you would have if you didn't have God? Hopefully one day He will become your food and your drink more fully, more and more fully. When we're thirsty and we're hungry, let us go to Him first. Let's go to Him first every time. Father Romano Guardini was a marvelous teacher, marvelous man. He was born in Italy. He died just in the 1960s here, and I've read a lot of Romano Guardini. If you get an opportunity and you can see a library source in your parish or diocese, you can find anything by Romano Guardini, it's worth reading. He writes here, Moses' bread was no true celestial food, sustainer of divine life and symbol of the new creation. This had been reserved for the gift of the new covenant, paternal gifts straight from heaven. This bread, form, nourisher, and preserver of eternal life in one is none other than Jesus Christ himself. He has come from God to bring life to the world. The listeners apparently do not understand, but they mean well and stick to the point. Lord, give us always this bread. They want the bread, but they really don't understand fully what it means. They are trying to understand. So Jesus tells them point blank, it is I who am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry. He who has faith in me will never thirst. He himself, the living being with all its readiness, his heart and soul and their immeasurable love, these are the life-giving nourishment. And men are to partake of them, to eat and drink through faith. Looking into their hearts, Jesus adds, but there are some among you who do not believe. They refuse to relinquish their standpoint. They try to force his words into their preconceived mold. And when this fails, they are at a loss. They are unable to follow Jesus. So the Lord reveals the hidden meaning behind his words. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. Those are the words of today's gospel. Gardini continues, the Father has sent his Son into the world to awaken eternal life in the chosen whom he is entrusting to him. Jesus is to preserve them and one day, at the hour of judgment, to resurrect them to the fullness of everlasting life. Brothers and sisters, do you really believe in the Eucharist? Do you really believe that this is not a sign, this is the reality? That God in Christ so loves us that he gave himself, his body and his blood to feed us until the end of time. How often do you partake of the Eucharist? How often do you go to him in your hunger and in your thirst? Or do you try to fill your hunger and thirst with all the things of this world? We need to eat and drink to keep our bodies alive, yes. But beyond that, what do we turn to that this world offers to try and satisfy our hunger and thirst? That hunger and thirst, brothers and sisters, is far greater than our bodies. That hunger and thirst comes from the heart of God. And that hunger and that thirst will only be satisfied in him. I really urge you, especially those of you listening to this program who are Catholic, you have the Eucharist. Please, brothers and sisters, feed on him. Feed on him, drink from him, that you might have everlasting life and that your presence here in this world may be a sign of the life to come, that the peace and the joy, the hope, the love that permeates your being because of the bread of life will bring many others to him. May God lead you and bless you. To order my free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, call 1-800-282-4789 or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ, where you can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.